Saga Egmont presents Emperor's Fate by Alex Goff. Read by David Thorpe. Chapter 1. Alexandria, December 215 AD. Silas squinted at the piece of graffiti scratched into the plaster on the side of the Temple of Isis, the distance of an arrow flight from the great harbour of Alexandria. He tilted his head to one side, trying to work out exactly what two figures were doing with each other. He traced his fingers over the angular writing beneath the picture, and his lips moved as he deciphered the Greek letters. Then his eyes widened and he whispered, "Fuck." Now he knew what the words said, the intention of the unknown artist became clearer. It was a cartoonish depiction of a man and woman in a sexual position, the quality about the standard of a child's scribble. But the inscription clearly read, "Tarautus and Jocasta." A couple of young Alexandrian lads saw him examining the image. One nudged the other and wandered over to Silas.
"Pretty lifelike, huh?"
said one, in Greek, a sneering smile on his face. Silas raised an eyebrow.
"You think? If that's what you believe sex is like, you have clearly never taken a woman to bed."
The young man puffed his chest out, put his shoulders back.
"I've had plenty of women."
"Sure. I bet your mother had plenty of nannies for you to keep you out of her way while she screwed some good Roman men."
The Alexandrian stepped forward, but his friend put a hand on his shoulder, holding him back.
"He's just trying to provoke you. Leave him."
"I'm not afraid of him."
"I know, but look, he's clearly Roman. Touch him and the legionaries will beat you black and blue."
The first Alexandrian glowered at Silas, then turned and stalked away, his friend hurrying behind.
"Tell your mother I said hello,"
Silas called after them. But they didn't turn back. Silas shook his head. Oclotinius would have been disgusted with him. He was meant to be keeping his head down. But something in the cocky boy's demeanour and his clear approval of the disparaging artwork had riled him. And it wasn't because of righteous indignation on behalf of Caracalla, he realised. It was because of the insult to Julia Domna. Tarautus was a gladiator, as famous for his bloodthirstiness and recklessness as he was for his hideously ugly visage and short stature. There had been a joke going around the empire for some time comparing Caracalla to Tarautus, and it was even possible to purchase statuettes outside the Flavian amphitheatre of a stunted Caracalla dressed as a gladiator, his handsome features twisted unkindly. As for the reference to Jocasta, even Silas's meagre literary education informed him this referred to the mother and lover of the unfortunate Oedipus. If Caracalla saw it, of course, he would explode like Vesuvius. And Caracalla was due to tour Alexandria the next day. Currently he was resting with his men in the Roman camp to the east of the city, having marched many hundreds of miles from Syria. He had left his stepmother, Julia Domna, the graffitist's Jocasta, in Antioch, in charge of the administration of the East, while he turned his attention to Egypt. It was another step on the ladder that reached up to the invasion of Parthia, his ultimate aim. Having pacified Britannia and Germania, consolidated his position in Rome, and defeated the barbarians of the Danube, he simply needed to deal with a belligerent Armenia and a grumbling Alexandria, and the invasion could proceed. Armenia was a technically independent vassal state of Rome, but bordering Parthia, it was a constant bone of contention, shifting from the influence of one empire to the other, depending on who was on the throne. It would have to be dealt with before the operation against Parthia could begin. Alexandria was a different proposition, however. Since the reign of Augustus Caesar, it had been an imperial province, and though in all that time it had never been in outright rebellion against Roman rule, it was constantly simmering.